Starting on the Mishnah at the top of Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph, the Mishnah is continuing what we discussed a little bit yesterday from the Mishnah, which is that there are things that are osir b'kol shuhu, items that create a problem even b'kol shuhu. And so the Mishnah says, Elo asurim, b'osrim b'kol shuhu. Here's a list of items that are asurim, and they also are osir b'kol shuhu. Yayin nesech, which is what we saw yesterday, avodat kochavim, orot lebuvim, which you saw earlier in the Masechta, is a skin that has the area of the heart cut out, so that we know that it was used for to grow it avodah zarah towards avodah zarah. Shor niskal, a shor that was put to death for killing someone or being involved in some aveira with a human being. Ve'egla rufa, v'tzipurei mitzora, v'se'ar nazir, the birds of the mitzora, the hair of the nazir, peter chamor, which is supposed to be exchanged for a seh, and that's given to the Kohen. If not, then it has to be killed. Basar v'chalav, milk and meat, which we'll have to discuss in a minute. V'sa'ir hamishtaleach, here the grua takes out sa'ir hamishtaleach, because the sa'ir hamishtaleach is pushed over the edge of a mountain and breaks up into evarim. So what type of isur anoah is there by the sa'ir hamishtaleach? So the only thing you could, if you could amend it to read evarim, the sa'ir hamishtaleach, maybe that would be relevant, but otherwise the grua takes it out. Chulin shenishchatu bazara. Ha'ilu asurim, v'osurim b'koshu. All these items are asur, and they're osur b'koshuhu. Now we're going to see in the Gemara what exactly the qualifications for this list are. One of the interesting enumerations of the list here is basar b'chalav. What is the case of basar b'chalav? So Rashi says that the case here is an instance where there was a chatitchat basar, for instance, a piece of meat that became osur because chalav had fallen into it, and milk had fallen into it, enough benotein tam. And then that piece of meat got mixed up with other pieces of meat. And that's what we're speaking about here. Then Rashi quotes an alternative daya, which Tosos actually tells us is Rabutav Shel Rashi. Rashi's Rebbeim had an alternative shot, which is amazing and difficult. Rashi rejects it, and so does Tosafot, for the same reasons. And he says that there's some that believe that they learn from our Mishnah that Basar B'Cholav is Osir B'Mashu. The Basar B'Cholav is not a din in Notein Tam, but rather a din of Mashu. That means, if a Mashu of milk falls into or onto a piece of meat, or a Mashu Basar falls into a pot of milk, then according to this, or according to the Rabbi Tav Shel Rashi, that would be Osir B'Kolshu. And Rashi rejects it for, he says, Ta'ut Hu B'Yadam. He says that it's a complete mistake, it's an error. He says for two reasons. One is that the Gemara, we're going to see in a second, deals with Davar Sheh B'Minyan. Talks about that one of the qualifications for the list is something that is of chashivut, of significance. So, first of all, a tipat chalav, or a little piece of basar, don't have any significance, so you can't call that a dovar sheh b'minyan. Number two, he says that we have everywhere, kol yisurin sheh b'Torah, shelo b'mino, which is basar b'chalav, is shelo b'mino, is benotein tam. And he says we have Tosfos adds in addition to that, that all the Shemaito in a Kol HaBasar in Chulin clearly are talking about Notein Tam. So they both reject this concept or this idea of the Rabbutav Shel Rashi, who think that Basar B'Cholav is Osir B'Kolshu, and they say that the instance, or what's speaking about in our Mishnah, is already where it became Osir B'Basar B'Cholav. We already have a Chepza Viser. Right, and then that... Right, so that Chepza Viser can't get mixed up with other chapatzim, and again, the Gemara itself seems to indicate it that way. It's not as clear from the Mishnah, but it has some sense in the Mishnah, but the Gemara, by giving the qualifications of the list, makes it obvious that you're probably talking about a chifza shel isur. So Tana, my kachoshiv. What is our Tana going after? Idavar shel b'minyan, kachoshiv, if he's talking about anything that's chashuv, meaning that these are enumeration of items that are significant, v'tneinami chatichot nevela. What about pieces of nevela? That shouldn't have been on the list. If you're talking about anything that could be of significance, that could be davar shel b'minyan, and therefore it's not batel, a nevela should qualify. If the Mishnah is enumerating all things that are osur ba'ana, then litnei nami chametz v'pesach. Then you could tell why it's in chametz v'pesach also listed on the list here. So the Gemara's question is, the list is incomplete. If you think the qualification is davar shel b'minyan, we're missing nevela. If you think the qualification is Israel, now we're missing Chametz and Pesach. So why? What makes you qualify for the list in this Mishnah? So Rav Chiya bar Abba, b'itayim Rav Yitzchak Nafka, haitan otarta itay. There are two qualifications to be on this list. Dover shebim minyan, v'isurei hana. You need to have both. You need to have both a dover shebim minyan and isurei hana to qualify to be on this list. So Mar says, all right, you want to make those the qualifications? We do have items like that are not on this list. V'litnei egoze perach v'imunei b'dan. So geze perach and rumine b'dan are fruits of significance. They were imports, foreign imports, that were considered to be delicacies, and therefore they have a status of a dover shebe minyan. And we're talking about here a case of either orla or kilay akerem, which is what's enumerated in the Mishnah that they're coming from. So there you have isurei ana, kilay akerem and orla are both asur bana, and you're talking about dover shebe minyan because you're talking about these delicacies that are significant. So you have something that's dover shebe minyan, visurei nahu. It says, al tana lei hotam. We already enumerated. There's a separate Mishnah that deals with them, which is arui lo arla arla, arui lo kilei akerem, kilei akerem. So they were already enumerated in a separate Mishnah. Our Tana is trying to mention Ziyan Nesech, because that's the set that we are in. And then after it mentions Ziyan Nesech, it comes to capture all other items that were dover shebe minyan, osur bano, that are not mentioned in any other place. Says, okay, the Gemara says, what about kikalitne kikarot shel balabait in chametz b'pesach? Let's talk about chametz b'pesach. We already saw was osur b'ana. Then we say kikarot shel balabait, which are home-baked chalos, or home-baked bread, which are significant. They're not like the bakery, where it's a generic type of bread, but these are kikarot shel balabait, which are significant. So now you have a dover shebe minyan and an isur b'ana. Why isn't it enumerated in our Mishnah? So Gemara says, manchmai damarlei, who says that kikarot shel balabait are considered dover shebe minyan? It's Rabbi Akiva. So it says, we have that mentioned there, Rabbi Akiva Mosif, af kikarot shel balabait. That's also mentioned in the Mishnah that discusses dover shebe minyan. According to Rabbi Akiva, he adds in kikarot shel balabait as being a dover shebe minyan as a problem. So those items were already mentioned in previous Mishnayot, so our Tana didn't pick them up when he was gathering all those that are Isur B'ana, Dover Shebe Minyan. He was trying to capture everything that had not yet been discussed or qualified. So now the Gemara says, okay, the last statement in our Mishnah is Hara Elu Osirim V'Osirim Koshu, which is a repeat of the first line of the Mishnah. If it's a repeat, we know that it has to come to be Memayit something. It has to come to exclude something. So what's being Memayit? Mute Mai. Lemute dover shebe minyan v'lavusareino comes to exclude something that is chashuv, it's an inconvenient in and of itself, v'lavusareino, and is not an isareino or inami. Lemute isareino that are isareino v'lo dover shebe minyan don't have a chashiva to them. So anything that only has one of the two qualifications, it either is chashuv and doesn't have isareino, or it has isareino and doesn't have a dover shebe minyan. Tosfos points out here that this is not a halachic qualification. We do find certain things like chametz b'pesach, which can be osur b'koshu according to Rav, and we do find other things that are dover shebe minyan that have significance that are also asurim b'koshu, even though they're not a isur hana. So Tosfos says that this exclusion from the Mishnah is not a halachic exclusion. It's not coming to tell you that if you don't have dover shebe minyan and isur hana, then you're not osur b'koshu. That's not true. There are examples of koshos, or isurei kosho, that have either or of these qualifications. But rather, the statement of the Gemara is coming to exclude why was it included in this list, why was it not included in this list. So the exclusionary statement says that which is not enumerated in this list is because it doesn't qualify in this way. What do you mean it doesn't qualify in this way? It's not both Isur Ana and Dover Shebe Minyan, that's why it's not in the list. Not to say that if it doesn't have those, it can't be Asur B'Koshu. That's how Tosfos explains the mi'ute here. It's not a lochik mi'ute. Now, to go back to the Mishnah itself, if you think everything in the Mishnah is a dover shebe minyan and a isurei ana, what are each item? So we say, yayin nesech, Rashi says, are chaviyot, barrels of yayin nesech. If you have barrels of yayin nesech, those are dover shebe minyan and they are isurei ana. When we're talking about avodat kochavim, what's the qualification there? That ain't bad, a tzurah shel avodah zarah that was worshipped. A tzurah that's of significance. So you have one tzurah that was worshipped amongst thousands of tzurot that were not worshipped. So that would be the case of dover shebe minyan and isurei ana. The other ones are easy, but orot ubuvim, shor niskal, egla rufa, tzipurei mitzorah, those are all easy because those are dover shebe minyan. They're all significant, but in and of themselves. and they are Isrei Anah. The one that's interesting is Seyar Nazir. What are you going to do with the Seyar Nazir? So Rashi says about Seyar Nazir that we're talking about here. Dabarim nimkar b'minyanu kama gizot b'sela. How many hairs do you sell by a sela? Each one's significant, and they use them for making sakin. They use them for making sacks out of the hair. They used to weave with the hair. So it used to be sold on a kama gizot per sela. So they were sold on an individual basis, and that's why the Seyar Nazir is a Dabar Shebiminyan, plus it's an Isurei Hanah. That was the one. Otherwise, Petach Hamor is pretty easy. Basar B'Chalab, this is the proof of Rashi and Tosafot, that the Basar B'Chalab that we're speaking about in our Mishnah is a Chatichat Basar B'Chalab, amongst other Chatichot. That's why it's called a Dabar Chashuv and a Dabar Shebiminyan. And read Seir Mishtaleach, and Chulin Shenis Lebedar Zara. Both will be easy to explain if you include Seir Mishtaleach. If you call it Evarei, Seir Mishtaleach, then also you'd have to be Evarim amongst other Evarim. So now explain our Mishnah, what is it? Dabar Shebiminyan and Isurei Anah? That's what qualifies you to be the Mishnah. If you weren't mentioned somewhere else in Chas, that's how you got into this Mishnah. Okay, the next Mishnah. Yain Nesek Shenachal Leborg Kulo Asur V'Hana'ah. If a Yain Nesek falls into a Borg, then it's all Asur V'Hana'ah, that Borg is Asur V'Hana'ah. Now that Yain Nesek Nenafal Leborg, Rashi already told us yesterday on the Mishnah that when that Yain Nesek fell in, what's the case of the Yain Nesek falling into the Borg? Rashi said it's when a whole barrel fell in at once into the boar. Otherwise, it would be kama kama batil. As it went in, it would be batil on the way in. So the only way to have it not be kama kama batil is to actually have the whole barrel going in one shot. Tosfos yesterday said, no, the case here can be an instance where it was kama kama batil, but then it was notain tam. It reached the point where it exceeded the 1 to 60 ratio. So when it exceeds the 1 to 60 ratio, that will make the boar asur. So according to Rashi, this Mishnah is talking about a full chavit that fell into the boar. Whereas Tosfos says this, just that it's a case where even if it was kama kama batil, it was a case where it reached the point where there was notain tam in the boar. So now, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Yimacher Kulo Loveid Chachavim Chutz Midman Yesek Shebo. So here's Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who's been mentioned, we've mentioned him numerous times in the Masecht already, is the Shita that we bumped into numerous times. Here's the source of the Shita in the Mishnah, which is that you sell the entire boar, excluding the value of Yain Nesek that is found inside of it. So you can just deduct from the value of the boar, the amount of Yain Nesek that's found in that boar. So Amarav, and we also have seen this before, which is Rav's qualification of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, which is halacha k'Rabbi Shimon chavit b'chaviyot. That's only true if you have one barrel amongst barrels. Avo yain b'yain, but not wine in wine. Shmuel amar afilu yain b'yain, and Shmuel says even yain mixed up with yain. So Rav, we saw before when Rav was giving instructions to the wine sellers, when you're pouring for the other individuals, make sure that you pour in a way that is ketufei katvei, make sure that you get your money up front, right? All these qualifications, he told about the wine sellers to make sure that the yain nesek didn't become yain nesek in their possession. So the Gemara over there says, mida avetayim elo l'rav. Over there, Rav is giving instructions to these wine sellers. So the Gemara says, Rav is l'shitato, and this is the shita of Rav over here, which is, when it comes to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, you have 100 barrels of wine, one of them is yain nesek, you can sell all 100 for the value of 99, that's fine. But in a case where wine actually ends up being mixed together, you have a tarovet of yain nesek with yain of chulin or yain that is fine and tahor, there you cannot sell the whole barrel chutz mi the yain nesek that shibo. Shmuel disagrees and says that even in a case of tarovet, we allow you to sell the yain with the yain nesek shibo, or excluding the value of the yain nesek shibo. And Shmuel is not alone. V'chein amar Rabba Barchan amar Biyochanan afil yain biyain. V'chein amar Shmuel Baranatan amar Bechanina afil yain biyain. V'chein amar Rab Nachman amar Rabba Baravu afil yain biyain. Amar Rach aman halacha l'maase. Here's the halacha l'maase. Now we, that halacha l'maase, we always think of, that's the halacha if you're going to paskin in a case law. Rather, Rashi says halacha l'maase means over here that there was a case. He paskin l'horot ala maase. He came to paskin on a case. Like this, yayin nesech, yayin b'yayin asur, chavit b'chavit mutar. When it comes to yayin nesech, the halacha is like Rav. Stam yayin, afil yayin b'yayin mutar. When it comes to Stam Yeinam, then we'll be Mekil and say that Paskin like Shmuel. So he divides up. Halacha like Rav Yayin Esek, halacha like Shmuel b'Stam Yeinam. If we go back to Tosfos that we've seen a number of times in the Masech that we even saw it yesterday, that today there is no Yayin Esek. Our Yayin Esek might even have a status of Stam Yeinam. Then maybe the halacha should apply even by Yayin Esek, because we would say that it has a qualification like Stam Yeinam over here. The interesting thing that Tosfos asks over here is, how does Rabbi Shimon Gamliel argue on a Stam Mishnah? That our Stam Mishnah says that Yayin Esek is Oser B'mashehu. And we just established before the previous Mishnah that it's talking about Chavit ben Achaviot. We said it was a Dover Shebim Minyan, and therefore it's a Chavit ben Achaviot. That means that the previous Mishnah just said that you have a Stam Mishnah saying that a Chavit amongst a Chaviot, Kulan Asurot. It's Asurot B'mashehu, it's Kulan Asurot. So how does Rabbi Shimon Gamliel also in our Mishnah come along and say, oh, Yimacher Kulo, Chutz Midmei Yayin Esek Shebo? He's arguing on a Stam Mishnah. So he says that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is going to be Mukilo the Indian Shiro Cholim Kor Echad Echad Avado. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel will have to explain the previous Mishnah or the Stam Mishnah that came before in an instance where he can't sell each one individually. I mean, that we saw that early in the Masechta, that when it comes to selling the Chutz Midmei Yayin Esek Shebo, you have to sell it encompassed in the whole grouping. If you take 100 barrels, you can sell 100 for the value of 99. What you can't do is sell each one individually. You can't sell 100 barrels one by one and say it's mutar unless you dump that one barrel out. We talked about that. That's according to the Mandomar that thinks that you can be poda Yayin Esek, and there if you take out that barrel of Yayin Esek, then you could sell the 99. But Rabbi Shimon Gamliel doesn't talk about that. So he's saying the difference, the previous Mishnah is talking about selling them one by one. You can't sell them one by one. This Mishnah is talking about you can sell them in a grouping, you can sell them in a bundle, and that's how you can get rid of the Yayin Esek. That's how he reconciles between Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's opinion here versus the Stam Mishnah that we just read. Right, on the Yom Bet, here we have another Mishnah. Right, so this Mishnah was mentioned earlier in Tosfa, which is the issue of Zifta, the issue of putting pitch or tar inside of the Kelim, or inside of the Gat. How does it affect the Gat, or how does it affect the Kelim in terms of their absorbency, but in terms of the ability to kasher those Kelim? And number two is, the Zephet itself, the pitch itself, it seems to be that in their time, they used to put Yayin, wine, in it to the pitch in order to have it when it dried out. It gave either a better flavor or it offset the flavoring of the pitch, which would have been a negative flavor in the wine. So because of that, it has relevance for us. One is the pitch problematic, period, because it has Yayin Esek in it, or is the pitch problematic because it's more absorbent than the underlying kli? So that we've discussed earlier. Tosfos really spent quite some time on it, and he quoted this Mishnah and this Gemara. So here is the Mishnah. Gat Shelevin. You have a stone press, shezifta ovei kochavim, that a non-Jew put the pitch, the pitch lining into it. So, minagva vihi teora. He does niguv, and then he's fine. We'll see that niguv is maim and efer, is water and ashes, which help to dry it out and have some sort of a scrubbing ability, so therefore they'll wash it out. Michel Eitz, when it comes to a wood gat, Rebbe Omer Yina gave, he says the same process works by Eitz. V'chamim omim miklof, you gotta strip out the pitch. Klof et hazefet, you have to strip out the pitch because it's more absorbent in that case. Michel Cheres, when it comes to clay, afal pi shekalaf et hazefet, even if you take out, you scrape out the pitch, harizeh surah, remember it's problematic. Seems from this that it's divrei akol, this last line of the Mishnah, that everybody agrees that the kli cheres is bolole lechamra, it takes in too much, and therefore it's problematic. Now, eitz versus evan, we're going to assume that wood is more absorbent than stone, and therefore it takes in more. Therefore, the requirement for the according to the chachamim is higher by eitz than it is by evan, and will require you to take out the zephet in that case. So Amar Rava, dafka zifta, it's only where there is zephet, pitch put in. Aval darach palo, if it's a gat, if it's a press, that was used as a press without any pitch in it, sounds like that won't be any problem. So when it says pshita, that's what our Mishnah says. Zifta tnan, it says gat shel evan shezifta. Right, that's very clear in the Mishnah, we're talking about a case of pitch. So what's Rava come to teach us? So I would say, I would have thought that's even if he pressed in it without pitch, there was no pitch, but he used it as a press. So why is it mentioned zifta? Because that's the normal way that their presses were made. That's not true. So according to this lashon and Rava, it would be sufficient in terms of the requirement for niguf. That is only a requirement when there's zefet. That's only when there's pitch in there. But if there's no pitch and he simply used the gat, then all he has to do is hadacha. He just has to rinse it out and everything is fine. Iked Amri, there's some that say this is Lashon Rabba. Amar Rabba Davka Zifta. Avodarach Balo Sagile Beniguf. Says that only when pitch was put in there, that's enough to do what the Mishnah's requirements are of Niguf. Aval, if he already pressed in it, then Niguf is not sufficient. Now here we're talking about a press that is both has Zephet, it has pitch on the inside, plus then he used it afterwards. Not just that they put in the Zephet, but they used it. So Pshita, again, the Gemara says Zifta, it's not our mission explicit, it says Zifta. So Malutenu then Afilu Darchba, I would have thought even if he pressed in it, that would be good. Vaidukhtani Zifta Orcha de Miltukhtani. When talking about Zifta, it's just talking about the normal course. Kamash Malon, Dafka Zifta, that's what the Gemara is teaching us. That only when he puts pitch in, about Darchba lo Sagile Beniguf. So in the second half, or this Lashon Rava, it's coming Lahachmir. That means that the requirement of Zifta, or the ability to clean out the Zephet, is only when he's only put in the Zephet. He put in the pitch, but he hasn't used it yet. If he's already used it, then that's not sufficient, and you will need a more sufficient or a more significant type of cleaning in order to clear out the gat. So now you have three different things. You have a case of a gat that has no pitch in it, a press that has no pitch in it, that just simply requires hadacha, rinsing out, and you're fine. A gat that has pitch in it, and not been used, then that gat can be cleaned through niguf. If it's a shel even, or if it's shel eight, according to Rebbe, you can clear out through niguf. On the other hand, if you have a gat that has pitch in it and was used, then it won't be sufficient. That will not be sufficient. You'll have to do either yiklof, you have to remove all the pitch, or you have to do some sort of iroi klirishon, you'll have to pour in boiling hot water to clear it out. You have to do something else to kasher the gat. So those are the three levels of what we are talking about here that need to be kashered.
Are we worried here about the physical nature of the thing, or its common usage? Like, remember we had the Hadrianic...
Right. So the Rashi mentions over here that the pitch itself is that the Orcha Lemirmei Bei Chamra Purta. When they made the pitch, they actually put wine in the mixture. So the pitch itself is problematic, even without any usage of the pitch, because before it's absorbed any wine, because it's made with wine in it. Now, why they put wine in it is because Lavure Kutra de Zifta. To remove the smoked flavor, I don't know if it's flavor or smell of the pitch. So in order to offset that, when they put it in, they put wine in the mixture to start with. So it has both aspects. It has the aspect when it's not used of being made with wine in it. After it's used, it has the absorbency issue, which is the secondary issue. So it has both of the issues that you're raising. This individual came before Rabbi Chiya. Give me a rabbi. I need a rabbi to clean out my gat. That's nice to call in. I need to kasher my ovens. Bring in the rabbi. So here, I need to kasher my press. Give me a rabbi to do it. So I'm going to lay the Rav. He says to his nephew Rav, Zilbade, go with him. Make sure you do a good enough job that they don't come screaming back at me in the base medrash. I mean, that we don't have any problems later on. I want you to do a good, top-notch job. So also, he saw that the gat was very smooth. Now we're talking about, seems to be a gat that had pitch in it. And he saw that the pitch was very smooth, so he wasn't worried about wine being captured inside the pitch. So it should be enough to do niguf, and that would be sufficient, which was what we had before in our Mishnah. Then you just do niguf. And according to Rabbi, even gachalates, even if it has pitch in it, all you have to do is niguf. So he says that should be fine. So the hada de ka'azil, as he's walking around it or looking at it, he saw some sort of cracking underneath. Saw some breaks or cracks in the pitch, and he saw that there was wine that was trapped underneath and inside of those cracks. Forget it. You can't do nigov anymore. You need to do a full kilo if you need to remove all the pitch that is here. That's what it was meant by when Chavivi. Chavivi is a reference to, here it's my beloved. My beloved is referring to Rabbi Chiyo, who is his uncle. Rabbi Chiya is his uncle from two sides, both to his mother and his father. So there he's talking about Dezana Damalei Chavivi. This is Chavivi referring to Rabbi Chiya says to Rav that make sure that Chazid lo mitzavak alai ben medrasha. Make sure that they don't come back and scream in the ben medrash. He sent Rav because he knew Rav would look into the issue very clearly and deeply and make sure that it was done right. And that's what Rav did. He made sure that it was done, even though from the outside it looked like it could have been done benigov. He saw the cracks, and then he said nigov was not sufficient, you need to do a full kiluf over here. Happens to me, it's funny that the word chavivi means dodi, which means my beloved, but it's also his dod. It happens to be his uncle as well. It's my beloved uncle, that Rav is first to Rabbi Chiya. So now, the Gemara goes, Tan Rabbanan, agat v'machatz v'mashpech shelo v'chavim. Here we're talking about something that is kli cheres, talking about made out of clay that are ein mezufafot, that have no pitch put in them. So you have clay without any pitch put in them. So you have a gat, which is a press. You have a machatz, which is some sort of ladle that they use to draw the wine out of the bore after the collection vat to put it into the barrels. V'mashpech is the funnel. So if they shelo v'chavim, they were used by non-Jews. Rebbe matir b'niguv. Rebbe says it's sufficient to b'niguv. But chamim osrim. Chamim say no, can't do that. You'll have to use the proper cleansing process for kli cheres, which would be you fill them up for 3 days, 24 hours, pour them out, 24 hours, pour them out, 24 hours, pour them out. That's how you keep them taher or clean up these kli cheres, because remember they're only used bitzonei, only use them with cold items. Therefore, it will be sufficient to do the iroi 3 times. Rebbe agrees with kankanim. Now kankanim here, we're talking about kankanim shel cheres, that are made out, these pitchers of clay, that are no mezufafot, they do not have pitch on the inside, shein asurim, that they're asur. So obviously the Gemara is going to ask about this, wait a minute. Rebbe just said the first half over here said, anything, these are clay utensils, no problem in iguv. Now he's saying by kankanim, which are also clay utensils, that they're asur. What's the difference between the first kli cheres that Rebbe talked about and these kli cheres? My phrase ben zelazer. What's the difference? Zemach niso le kiyum, v'zeimach niso le kiyum. It's the difference in their usage or their utility. Those that are put into storage are problematic. Those that are not put into storage are fine to kasher. What's the difference? Well, if it's going to sit, those that are put in storage are going to have wine sitting in them for a tremendous duration. Therefore, they absorb a tremendous amount of the wine that's in them, and you can't get it out. It's done. They are serene. On the other hand, when you're talking about utensils that are used on a temporary basis, meaning that they are used and then emptied, those don't have a problem in terms of kli cheres. They absorb a certain amount, but niguv is enough to get rid of it, because we're dealing with sonein, we're dealing with cold over here, and since we're dealing with cold, niguv will be enough to clear them out. Now, this gezeira applies even if they don't go into storage. It means, what's the normal utility of this kli? If it's normally put into storage, even if it's yet to be put in storage, you can't kasher it anymore. That's the gzeiras chachamim. The gzeiras chachamim is that a kankan, before it ends up in storage, is problematic, because it's normally put into storage. A mashpech over here is fine because it's a kli that's never put into storage. It's not something that's used in storage, which is a big difference. This is, again, the Tosfotim earlier in the Masechta dealt with this issue about kelim. He's discussing their kelim that have zefet in them, and if whether they are put into storage or not normally put into storage, what's the halacha? So it comes out of this difference. This basic differentiation is important. Whether it's put into storage or not put into storage makes a huge difference over here. Now, Bishal Eitz, Bishal Evan. You're talking about wood and stone, yinagev. Then it works to be niguv, seems to be divrei hakol here, yinagev works. V'mayu mesufafim, if they have pitch in them, asurim. Asurim, wait a minute, and that's the Gemara is also going to ask this question. We just had a Mishnah that says if they're mesufafim, we have a machlokes, on one, in the ratio we have, in the case of Evan, everybody said it was fine with niguv. And then we had the eights, we had a machlokes rebbe in the chachamim. So the Gemara is going to ask that. That's none, our Mishnah. Gachal Evan shezifta. So wait a minute, we have an explicit Mishnah that says that Zufafim is fine, that's no problem, you can do Niguf. And here we have a Divrei Akol saying that Zufafim doesn't work. So Gemara says, Matnitzen de lo darachba, bright of the darachba. So it's a different difference. The difference, this is what Rav already pointed out to us, that there's a difference in our Mishnah is talking about where the pitch was put in there, but it was yet to be used. It was never used as a press. It was prepped as a press, but never used as a press. So that prep is enough to get rid of that zip, that pitch is enough to get rid of it by doing niguv. On the other hand, once it's used already, niguv is not sufficient. You have to be liklof. You have to actually peel it out and take it out, it won't be enough, and it's a surah. So that's the difference. Rav already raised this for us, and now the Braita is making it more explicit. There's a difference between the prep and the usage. That goes back to your question before, which what's the problem with the zefet? This is both of them. If it's just prep, the problem is that they put wine in it when they prep it. After it's used already, then the problem is the absorbency or the cracking of the pitch, which allows wine to get underneath. And that crack allows the wine, it means that there's residual yainesech in the gut, so it has to be peeled out in order to get rid of it. And now, Amamar, going back to the first part of this braita, Hagat v'machas v'mashpech shalov dechavim, Rebbe Matir b'niguv, achomim osrim. V'anantan, our Mishnah said, shocheres. Our Mishnah said, irafol pi shikalaf et azivit, harizu asura. Our Mishnah seems to say that divrei akol, that when it comes to a kli cheres that is as zifuf on it, then even if you peel out the zifuf, it doesn't help you. So why does it? And our bright over here says a gava machas mashpech that we're talking about here that are kli cheres, Rebbe Matir b'niguf. Why is that? So my says Amarava seifet demandit and atan rabbanan. The seif of our Mishnah is only according to the rabbanan. The seif of our Mishnah is the Rabbanan's opinion. We thought the Sefer Mishnah was Divrei Akol, but that's not true. That last statement in our Mishnah, when they say, Achami Amrim Yiklof et Zefet, then the continuation is, V'shel Cheres, Av B'shekalav et Zefet, Rizu Asurat, that's the opinion of the Chachamim. It's not the opinion of Rabbi. If you do that, then you're fine now. You can reconcile between the Braita and the Mishnah. The Rabbanan and the Braita say that Kli Cheres problematic. In the Mishnah, they say problematic. On the other hand, the Rebbe in the Braita says that Kli Cheres can be kashered through Iluf, by ripping out the Zefet, and that'll be fine. He's not mentioned in our Mishnah. Rebbe's opinion is not in our Mishnah, therefore there's no problem from our Mishnah about that. Dorash Rava, Nava Artuchu. The Nava, you should boil it up. The Nava is referring to the press. As Rashi quotes over here, he says that the Ritichu Birotchim Nava Kamo Yitufun Navohi Bechamar. That their presses should drip chamar wine, and that is the targum for chachlili einayim miyayin. The presses should drip wine, so chachlili miyayin. So nava over here is referring to the presses. The presses, you clear them out by putting in boiling water over here. That's how you clear them out. So now this has an interesting implication. It means that the kashering of the presses is through pouring boiling water in them. So Tosfos has to deal with two issues. One issue is, you have to be magil the press over here. Why is it that you have to be magil the press over here, that they're only used b'tzonein? Why do we have to put in boiling water at all? Number two is, the boiling of the press. How do you boil a press? You can't boil a press by putting hot water in it and boiling it up. Meaning that you don't heat it from underneath and then it boils up. What you're doing is you're pouring hot water into the press to clear it out. So Rabbeinu Tam says over here, it happens to be a significant machlokus between the Rashbam and the Rabbeinu Tam brothers, Rabbi Yaakov b'Rabbi Meir and the Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Meir, argue about this point, about Irui Kli Rishon. If you have a Kli Rishon that's how to heat it up on the fire and then you pour out of it, what is the status of that water that's being poured out of the boiling pot? So Rabbeinu Tam says, I think that Irui Kli Rishon is a Kli Rishon. Has the same status as a Rishon. I can prove it to you from right here. That's what Rava just said. Rava says you have to boil up the presses, and how do they do that? They pour boiling hot water into the press, and that's how they clear it out. That's Iri Kli Rishon, and it's working like Kli Rishon. That Iri has the same din as a Kli Rishon, you can see that from here. So then he says, V'ashto, if that's true, the Kaim and David Kli Rishon, V'kein Hani Kalim Shnestroy Yudei Kli Rishon, any pot that became Usur because you boiled Isser in there, you don't have to take that pot and dunk it into a cauldron of boiling water. All you have to do is pour boiling hot water into it and you're fine. That's the Rabbeinu Tam. Aval Rashbam cholek al Rabbeinu Tam. Rashbam argues, Vomer, the iri kli sheni hu legamrei. That the pouring of hot water out of a kli rishon has the status of a kli sheni. So over here, why is it that it's enough to just pour out of a why is it enough to use a kli sheni then, basically, according to the Rishbam? According to Rabbeinu Tam, that iru is like kli rishon, you're doing what you're asked to do, boil out the presses. But according to the Rishbam, who says when you pour out of a kli rishon, that becomes that the iru has a din of kli sheni, then what's the, how are they clearing out the gat? The gat here says you got to boil the gat. How are you doing that with a kli sheni? So he answers up, the Rishbam says, shayini yayinesek tashmisho yedei tzonei. Which is what I mentioned to you before. The usage of the press is only used by cold. So since it's only used by cold, we're makil and what type of boiling you have to do to the press to clear it out. It's not. It's different than a regular pot that's used on a fire that was heated up and boiled up. Here you're talking about wine that's tzonein. So it's the ayin nesef, we're machmir over there. So you want to get rid of it. You pour boiling hot water in there. That's fine. That's a kli sheni. You don't need a kli rishon because it wasn't used that you day a chamin. It's only used that you day tzonein. The Tosfos rejects both of them. It says the Rebbeinu Tam's wrong and the Rashbam's wrong. And this is Tosfos, and this actually has implications to Halacha, is that Iri Kli Rishon is Mevashel Keklipa, but not all the way through. That Iri Kli Rishon has a status in between a Kli Sheni and a Kli Rishon. A Kli Rishon is Mevashel the Gamre. Kli Sheni is not Mevashel. Iri Kli Rishon is Mevashel Keklipa. It's Mevashel the outer surface, but not the entirety of the item that it's poured on. That has nafka minot, number one, for kashering. If you want to kasher something that is boleya through and through, you can't use irui. If it's boleya through, then irui won't work because it only kashers the klipa, only kashers the outer surface of what it's being poured on. So if you have something that only absorbs on that surface area, then you can use irui to get rid of it. If it's something that's totally absorbent and goes through the entirety of the walls of the pot, then irui won't help you because you'll need to put it in a cauldron to have a full kli rishon. Number two, and the nafka mina happens to be on Shabbos, which is, I'll give you the example, or the great, the more modern uses is what they bottle, a baby bottle. A baby bottle that has milk inside of it, and you want to heat it up on Shabbos. So obviously you can't boil the milk on Shabbos. What you can do is if you pour from a kli rishon boiling hot water onto the bottle, that'll be fine. Why? Iri kli rishon is mevashel kedei klipa. It's a matter of klipa. What's the klipa there? The bottle itself is the klipa. So fine, it's mevashel the bottle. That has no implications on Shabbos. The milk inside is fine. So that would be permitted on Shabbos. You could pour out of a kli rishon onto a bottle to warm up the milk inside because it's only mevashel kedei klipa. It's mevashel kedei klipa. The outer surface is the bottle, so it's not problematic. The milk inside will be totally fine. So that's as a nafka mina lalocha. Tosfos himself says the ikra of the sugya is in Shabbos. Just bringing it here because this is one of the proofs of the Rebbeinu Tam. But just mentioned to you in the Begadol that there are major halachas that come out of this Tosfos and the argument in the Gemara in Shabbos about this. Right, next thing is, Ki Havo Mishadeh Rava. It's another statement about Rava. When he used to send Gufei Laharfai Nyaya, when he used to Savichlu Apimayu, Vichotimlu Abitzayu. When he used to send empty barrels to someone else, but he used to do it Ayidei Enachri. So he's sending these barrels to a location, but he's sending them with a non-Jew. So then he used to flip them on their faces, turn them upside down, and then seal them on the back with a chotam, and Rashi calls this, that was because mechotam mitoch chotam. He made it a double seal when he sent it. So then he says, kasavar, because he believes, and this is what we just spoke about before, kol davar shemachniso l'kiyum, afilu v'hisha'a gazru be'rabbanon. That when it's machniso l'kiyum, these are barrels that are going to be put into an otzar. They're going to be put into a storage area. If they're going to be stored, then we just saw before from the Braita, when something that's put machniso l'kiyum, you can't kasher it. So Rava believes that when something that's put into kiyum, even if it hasn't reached the point where it's being stored in, even if it's used temporarily, it's now problematic. The chamimer goes there. Anything that's put into storage, that if that's problematic, then even when you use it temporarily, it's also problematic. So what's Rava afraid of? If he sends the wine, these barrels, empty barrels with the guy is taking them, and then the guy says, you know what? While I'm on the way, let me just fill them up with my wine, I'll carry my wine, and then I'll dump them out when I get there, and that'll be fine. So there, Rava's worried about that. He says, I can't have them put wine in this temporarily, because that'll be a problem. So what did he do? He used to seal them up and make sure that they go b'chotam to chotam. This also raises an issue for Tosfos, which is, if you look at the last Tosfos on the Omud, Shminya Mehalcha. Person is sending over empty barrels to the non-Jew's house. Oh, meir the ear from city to city, kedelek taknam to fix them. Tzarech lechotmam mibifnim. Bigachelet or be'even raka, he has to make a chotem on the inside with some sort of, I don't know, coal or a stone, raka, shik even, sid, kedei shenikar, yimov yichem yotem tochem yayin. So basically what he would do is he would write with, I guess, some sort of chalk or coal. He would write on the inside of the barrel. Therefore, if somebody put something in there, it would be clear because it would erase it. It would take it out of the barrel. So if somebody used it, it would come out. He would know that it was used. So you have to make some sort of marking to ensure it was not used. It says, Meyo yesh lidchot. He says, I can make this distinction. This is a distinction we saw in Tosos many, many times, which is, they had small barrels that they used. And therefore, it was easy to put wine into them and pour them out immediately. of a chiyot shalano, which are enormous, right? You can't just fill them with the wine and dump them out easily. I mean, that's a big process. Then you don't have to worry about it, and you wouldn't need a chotem in this case. As Tosa says, in all these cases, good to be machmir in these cases, but he thinks that there is a distinction that can be drawn between their utensils, which were easy to use quickly, versus theirs, which were of significant size, and people just didn't use them temporarily, just, you know, kind of, oh yeah, let me throw some wine in here and dump it out. It was a big tircha to do that. When you're talking about smaller barrels or smaller pitchers, then you could talk about such a distinction. All right, now the Gemara says, "Vamim and Agvan." This is our Mishnah. How do you do niguv? Rav Amar b'mayim, that's with water. Rav Amar b'chana Amar b'efer, with ashes. Rav Amar b'mayim v'lo b'efer. Rav says water, not ashes. And Rav Amar b'chana Amar b'efer lo mayim. He says ashes, but not water. Ella, Rav Amar b'mayim v'odin efer. Rav says water, and that works with efer also. Rav Amar b'chana Amar l'efer v'odin l'mayim. And that ashes work, and that's the same with wine. Rav, the way Rashi reads it is Rav Amar Mayim, Mayim Tchila, that you put water in first, Vodin Shetrich Efer Acharei. Then you put the Efer afterwards. Rav Abachana Amar Efer Tchila, you put in the ashes first, Vodin Shetrim Amar Chimreim. So what's the difference? Their order. Why does Rav say water first and then Efer? And Rav Abachana says Efer first and then Mayim? Velo Pligi, Habiritiv Da, Habibivish Da. Depends what we're dealing with. If there is in the press, or what you're going to kasher, if there's still moisture left in it, then you first put in the ashes to draw out all the liquid, all the moisture that's there, and then you put the water through to rinse it out and to wash it off, to scrub it out. So the ashes are absorbent, that take out the liquid, and they are more abrasive, so they'll take out the liquid and the moisture and clear, and then you wash the water through. On the other hand, if it's the other way around, b'veshta, if the press is totally dried out, then you put in the water first and allow it to moisten the area. Then you put in the ashes in order to be mishafshef, in order to be more abrasive and absorbent. They'll clear the water out and be absorbent and abrasive to clear it out. So that's the requirement for niguv, is that you need both efer and water. Again, the one is to rinse, one is to be the abrasive absorbent material. And depending on whether the item is moist or dry, you would start with one or the other. If it's moist, you'll start with the abrasive absorbent material. And if it's dry, you'll start with the water to rinse it out, and then do the abrasive and absorbent material to clear out what's there. Okay, we'll stop over here.